In the book of Genesis, Almighty God said, "She shall crush thy head." God said that to the serpent, Satan. And today the church sings in her vespers, "This day the head of the old serpent was crushed by her." Alleluia. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Just as the mystery of the church in our day, I mean that she is immaculate, the spouse of Christ, our mother, the teacher of all truth and never of error, that she is infallible, is caught up with all kinds of confusion for most Catholics who do love her and who wish only to be just that, Catholics, loyal children of this most pure mother, without whom salvation is impossible. The trouble is this, that this dear mother, God's unshakable rock, seems shaken and split with every schism and hurt. So hurt by heresy. So too, historically, she who is the image of the church, Mary, most pure, immaculate, virgin, and mother, who gives us Christ, through whom comes grace, she has occasioned a certain confusion amongst Catholics down the centuries concerning her prerogatives chiefly, as well as in a secondary sense her titles and devotions, but most of all her role in our redemption and our salvation. But you know, nothing happens without the will of God. And God willed that all of this should be so, especially concerning the doctrine which brings us here this sunny day in December, her Immaculate Conception. She told the Swedish mystic, some of you know her and love her because you use the beautiful prayers that bear her name, the prayers of the Passion, with such powerful promises, St. Bridget. She told her, concerning her Immaculate Conception, "God's friends," Our Lady said, "should piously doubt my conception." This is God's will, she said. "And that each one should show his zeal till the truth becomes clear at the preordained time." And thus it was that in the Middle Ages, Thomas Aquinas seemed to oppose Our Lady's Immaculate Conception, and St. Bernard of Clairvaux certainly did. And it took a Franciscan from Scotland, Duns Scotus, to reconcile the great but seemingly opposed theological principles at play here. And the dispute in the church became so bitter that a pope, Sixtus IV, had to forbid name-calling under pain of excommunication, that those who follow one opinion were forbidden to call heretics those who followed the opposing position. The Franciscans kept the feast, as did the Spanish. The Franciscans took an oath to teach the mystery of the Immaculate Conception, and they elected Our Lady Immaculate the patroness of their order. Meanwhile, the Dominicans opposed all of this, but loyal sons of the church as they were, eventually they were brought around, and it was a Dominican pope, Pius V, who forbade that anyone should doubt the Immaculate Conception. And finally, by the 17th century, another pope had clarified exactly what the church means in this feast day in our Missal, Immaculate Conception, defined the terms. And ultimately, you know that in the 19th century, on this day, in 1854, in the very midst of all of the Masonic revolutions against the papacy, the Holy Father Pius IX infallibly defined this dogma, which was revealed from Almighty God, the traditional faith of the Church, truly since the beginning. Now, today, we Catholics are so divided on the order of doctrine. The terms heresy or schism are sometimes carelessly slung about. And it is only in Mary and with her that we feel some pride still of being the universal and the worldwide and the one true church of the apostolic faith. You can have that experience if you visit some great Marian shrine, such as Lourdes, or even praying a public rosary, or promoting a particular devotion, a scapular or a medal. Still, practicing these time-honored and church-blessed Catholic devotions to Our Lady still does entail a certain confusion amongst Catholics. I believe it is caused by Satan, that old slimy serpent who always gets in and tries to confuse minds and hearts. Particularly, he cannot bear the Immaculate Conception. And so almost every year, the preacher must remind Catholics, and hope that the word will get out to non-Catholics, that the Immaculate Conception means the fact that Mary, chosen to be God's mother, was conceived a child of Joachim and Anne, in the womb of Saint Anne, as any other child except without original sin, that sin that we all inherit from our first parents, Adam and Eve, never made its appearance, its blot, its stain on her soul. And this happened by the foreseen merits of the death of Christ, her son, a death that was yet to take place in time. The Immaculate Conception of the Virgin Mother is a separate doctrine from the virgin birth. The virgin birth, the doctrine we hold, that our Blessed Lady conceived her Son, our Lord, purely by the overshadowing of the Holy Ghost, and that good Saint Joseph is the adoptive father of our Lord, and only God is his father. As well, we Catholics do tend, last of all, to be sometimes a little confused over Our Lady's titles and her feasts and her devotions. And even the idea itself, it's hard to dislodge from some minds of Catholics who have been too influenced by the new religion or by the Protestants. That is to say, there is this lingering thought that there should be some kind of a conflict between mother and son, between Mary, Immaculate, who gives us Jesus, the Savior, and Jesus, God's Son and Mary's Son, who wills that we should go to God only through her, through whom God came down to us. You see this confusion, and it's a real pity because it makes us to miss out on an awful lot concerning our country's patroness. It was on the 13th of May. What an important day, the day of Our Lady Immaculate appearing at Fatima. It was on the 13th of May in the year 1846 that the bishops of our country consecrated this land to Mary Immaculate, that she should be our patroness and our queen. That same Mary Immaculate showed herself in America way back in 1531, long before the borders and the modern nation states, United States, came into existence. Way back then, Mary described herself as the perfect and perpetual virgin, the mother of the true God. And she left her image, the only one we have with absolute certainty, she left her image for us on the cloak of a certain convert man who was a widower, whose name was John James by baptism, a perpetual miracle for us, an everlasting Pentecost, if only we would approach. We call her Our Lady of Guadalupe, but really, she is Our Lady of America. She is the Immaculate Conception. She is not just Mother of Mexico, but Mother of us all, as Pope Pius XII reminded us. She is the Empress of the Americas, North, South, as well as Central. Furthermore, see how Mary works, especially when there's a little bit of a potential conflict? She's a mother. That means she's always making peace among her children. She's quite diplomatic. She knows the reality of naturalism and nationalistic prejudices, and she's the best of missionaries. And so when she said, "I'm Our Lady of Guadalupe," she meant to unite the Spanish with the Indians of Mexico, because Guadalupe is an ancient shrine of Mary Immaculate in the old country, in Spain, tended by the Franciscan friars. So when she said those words, she indicated a past, but also a very important future victory over our common foe. She who crushed the head of the old serpent stands ready, if she is asked, to do it again and again. Well, she did it in Mexico, of course, stamping out the Satan-worshipping, snake-worshipping, human sacrifice cult of the Aztecs. And she brought, in 10 years, tens of millions all those little Mexican Indians of all different tribes into the Catholic faith, so much so that they ran out of holy oil for the baptismal ceremonies. And it was all of this only 40 years after Columbus discovered America. And right at the very start, 1531, of the Protestant revolt in Europe. And so you see Mary Immaculate replacing Children of the Church and the tempest-tossed church the children sang today, that beautiful hymn of Father Faber. All her eyes are on thee. We look to thy shining, sweet star of the sea. The children of the old world were gone, but she gave the church new children in the new world. And then, exactly, she does something for the old world. Exactly 40 years after Guadalupe, 1571. Remember, the word Guadalupe is an Arabic word. She was the one who, by means of the rosary under Pius V, won the victory over the Mohammedan fleets. The Turks had come with every intention, and they've come back now, of turning Europe into a Mohammedan fiefdom. But she saved Christian civilization in the old world, as she saved and souls and established a new Christian civilization in America. These are confusing times, aren't they? For all of us. For all who are fighting for Christian civilization. And yet this Advent, don't we sing, Consolamini, Populi Meus. O be ye comforted, my people. Mary told that John James, who saw her and received her roses and her cloak, that almost directly south of here, I don't know how many miles it is, I forgot to look it up, but it's almost directly south of here, in the same American continent, she said to him, "My son, why are you disturbed? Why are you troubled? Am I not here, who am your mother?" Indeed she is, Mary, Immaculate, who crushed the head of the old serpent, is here in America, our patroness and our mother. May she be your queen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.